Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz on his second visit to China this Saturday since November 2022. What do these visits mean for trade relations between China and Germany? Deep insights from top executives of big German companies. First, a conversation with the chair of the Robert Bosch Management Board, Stefan Harten, on the direction of artificial intelligence and the value of collaboration. And how does a company catering to global supply chains manage uncertainties? The CEO and chairman of Heraeus with answers.
Hello, I'm Tian Wei, and welcome to World Insight. Robert Bosch, a leading global supplier of tech and services based in Germany, it focuses on industrial energy and building technology and consumer goods. Since its first presence in China back in the year 1909, the company has witnessed China's transformation. In 2020, China became its largest single market for the first time. Recently, I talked to Stefan Harten, the chairman of Robert Bosch Board of Management. He told me about the value of collaboration between his company and China.
Mr. Chairman, what a pleasure to see you in Beijing.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to be back, isn't it?
Yes.
You and your colleagues have been here in China a long time, and you have been very instrumental in providing your thoughts, both to the Chinese leadership and also to the people relevant for making things happen. Tell us more about your updated suggestions and ideas at a time when we are trying to see both sides, quote-unquote China and quote-unquote the West, are still trying to figure out how can we do the communication more than skin deep.
Well, the key thing, we are here now since 115 years in China, right?
Absolutely.
And we are now with 58,000 people here. So we are not a company which is doing that from the sideline, right? We are in the core of the economy, specifically in the automotive, but also home appliances and some other areas, industry itself. So the key thing right now, what you see is that the change is happening towards a more content-driven growth. That's really what is this quality development question. And the content-driven growth comes definitely also from this technology side. So, and that's what this new productivity quality forces, right, which are quoted. So the technology is now getting more and more important. Most key is that you see it also in China, that some areas China is leading in some areas already, which can then be transported also to other areas.
Like what?
Like the new energy vehicles. You see a lot of technology here in a much bigger scale, which are more customers applying. With the rise of the Chinese OEMs is a very good example. But also we see it more and more in this new supply chains that are built up for sustainability reasons. Mm-hmm. China has committed to 30-60 targets, right? So you see more and more partners of us now working on sustainability questions. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to monitor and to work with, because that's another way of collaboration. And by the way, that's for the planet.
Your company, a very influential one, yet remains low-key, but I have noticed so much structural adjustments as a result of all the dynamic changes in the world. Tell me more about your vision behind these structural changes.
And what you see right now that's most important is that markets are developing to an own characteristic and personality. And you can see that in China, because the Chinese consumer is a very demanding and a very specific consumer, right? Also quite different to the consumer in Europe and in the US. So what you need to really be successful in China is also an empowered organization in China. Mm-hmm. And that's what, for example, we just did in the automotive sector. We have an automotive sector leadership completed in China, so that they can act independently very near to the customers and then also having a good consumer insight.
Mm. Recently, I noticed some wonderful conference you have hosted, international conferences, and in which some dynamic voices in innovation have spoken. You were interacting with them. For example, those that are in the AI and also in the electronic cars. So a lot of quotes from there, but the way you ask also shows the deep thinking that you and your company put into to get to the front line of the changes. Tell us more about that.
Well, specifically right now, you see that we have both things happening. On one hand, we sometimes see the world more negative than we have seen it some years ago, right? Because we had COVID and we now have a slower growth. It all seems to be so difficult, right? On the other hand, you see at the same time a technological explosion happening with the AI technology, which is now extending its capability to language modeling. And that gives us a complete new opportunity. So we have to really go deeper into this to understand what effects it will have. I think it will have profound effects, as the mobile phone, for example, had. We all cannot imagine that we would be taken away by our mobile phones, right? But in the future, I think the generative AI models will have a deep impact on our lives.
Yeah. Of course, this is very general, you just explained. As to exactly how it is impacting on different components of your industry, what are you trying to do now, right now, on the ground?
I mean, the key thing is that with language models, you can generate data. And with these data, we can then use it for example, to make better cars or safer cars. The specific aspect of these models is that they cannot just analyze a picture where you can see then a car and bicycle and a light post or something like this, but they can interpret the picture. For example, if they see on the picture a ball coming out of the sideline of a street, the interpretation of that is much easier than after the ball, probably a child comes on the road. So it's a much more dangerous situation than if you would just see the ball. Because driving in a car, you can ride over a ball, not a big thing, right? But if you see a ball coming, you probably should stay on the brakes because there's a child to come.
That certainly is a very vivid example you just give. But what does that mean for you? Because a lot of these innovations you cannot predict. And how it's going to be applied in businesses or in different sectors you are working on cannot be predicted, at least not too much. So how would you be able to plan ahead to prepare something terrific, a gigantic to happen?
Well, that's the problem. You can't plan anymore. You have to be elastic and flexible. And that's also for the most modern people you have in your company. So let's say the AI experts that did the neural network work, the deep learning work, they had to rethink their entire work when the new generative AI models came up. And that's kind of the nature of what happens right now. We have to be way more elastic and way more adaptive. And that's, by the way, very typical for Chinese companies and also Chinese people, right? They are adjusting quick to the new environment, to the new technology available, and apply it as soon as they can.
But you are also seeing complexities in terms of technology cooperation. And as a result, some companies have chosen to do two versions. Others have been trying to still think about their way out. What is the general plan that you have in mind? And you are working so hard with your colleagues, especially here in China.
Well, in China, it's a good network to have partners and cooperation partners. So we are still in the process of funding more new joint ventures, right? So it's, we're extending our partnerships because it makes total sense also to do innovation in China and not just do it the way that you produce something on the world in the US or in Europe, bring it over to China and think you can just sell it. Normally, it has to be adopted anyway. And why not just do it with partners in China? By the way, knowing that things are normally moving a bit faster in China, having to be adapted more often, and that's a typical sense of doing also then a second technology path. So in some areas it doesn't make sense to do it twice. In other areas where it's, let's say, consumer oriented or nearer to the customer behavior, it makes absolutely sense to do it twice because it's different.
At the very beginning of China reform and opening up, JV was the idea, right? Joint venture. But now when we are in a very different stage, obviously, you are looking at JV at a very elevated level to be having Chinese partners to go ahead.
Yeah, but still JVs make sense in a lot of cases.
It's like a marriage, isn't it? Everybody have to make it work.
It makes sense when you add two capabilities which are there, right? And you could either do collaborations through contracts, but you can also go through JVs. JVs are a bit more complex to set up. Yeah, but because you have to have antitrust regulations and so things covered. On the other hand, you can split the business in various joint ventures. For example, like we did in hydraulics. In hydraulics, we just founded three joint ventures with three different partners for hydraulics, machine automation and electrification, because there are different characteristics were necessary for different markets, and that makes perfect sense then to go for JVs.
There were hypes about decoupling. You know, words like that, and then they turn into what some call de-risking. Whatever the terminologies, it seems that business community understand it inside out, the real nature of doing business, especially with supply chains and value chains. What is your current interpretation of where we are today?
Well, I still believe that decoupling is a bad idea, because it's kind of unlogical that you have one planet and you try to decouple the planet. I mean, we are far beyond that point. We collaborate on all kinds of levels. There is areas of technology where countries and regions want to have, through security precautions normally, want to have an exclusive space. Okay, but that doesn't mean that you decouple. That means you have a different way of cooperating.
And you also need to explain what security is, right? Exactly. It cannot be overblown.
No, definitely. And you have to be careful that obviously each thing which you don't do together, so each research which you do twice as mankind, is obviously a waste of resources. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't overdo it. A collaboration, especially on the research level, so between young people, for example, should always be promoted. And then on the application level, yes, there can be competitive areas, there can be collaborative areas, and there can also be exclusive areas. Mm-hmm. But that has always been the case. So I'm not so much afraid of the developments if they don't go too far.
Finally, before we go, there are some people who have the question about if China working on what China calls the new quality productive forces,
yes,
mainly to focus on innovation-related industries such as EVs and others, will the rest of the world be once again, as they see it, overblown by the Chinese products? Is that, how do you see mentalities like this?
Oh, always when we see technology, there's a huge way to do competitive work, because the consumers on the world are relatively free deciding what they buy. Yeah, there is some regulation on markets, but guess what? You can still decide in any kind of market, and especially free market economies, what you buy, from which manufacturer and what characteristics. So I'm actually very much for a good offering of products. And if Chinese products are now coming more to international markets, it's actually a better market afterwards, mm-hmm, because that will also unlock other innovation from other partners again. And if I see it from the mobility side, it's very good to see new car concepts coming in, specific consumer good targeted cars coming in, also from China, because that's new competition, that's a new offering, that's definitely also a great thing for the consumer. For us as technology providers, we anyway have to offer the full scale of productivity in all areas, mm-hmm, and therefore I like also this idea of this new quality productivity drivers of the let's say valuable growth. That is definitely what we do. We are invented for life with our ethos, right? So we want to use technology to bring new products to consumers having a better life. So that's perfectly fitting.
Mm. Now I have a much better understanding why you have so many partners around the world.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Still to come, how does a company catering to global supply chains manage uncertainties? The CEO and chairman of Heheus with answers next.
Zoom in on global affairs with insightful debates and exclusive interviews. This is World Insight.
Welcome back. Heheus Group is a German company with businesses covering the environment, electronics, health, and industrial applications. It is deeply embedded in global supply chains. How is business doing amid uncertainties? How does it look at the potential of Chinese market? I talked to Jean Reinert, who is the CEO and chairman of Heheus Board of Managing Directors.
Mr. Chairman, good to see you again.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to see you.
You are working on so many of these front lines. Last year, I remember talking to you. You were very low key. But through my observations throughout this year, I think the conclusion I can draw is this guy has figured it out.
Well,
on many fronts.
Thank you very much.
And you are prepared early. Mm. So tell us about how these new technologies are becoming already agreed realities of both mm-hmm. your global supply chains mm-hmm. and also of your management styles, which need to be catering to the latest mm-hmm. change in technologies.
Let's talk first about leadership styles.
Let's do that.
I very much believe that empowerment is very important for the people. So I do not know anything better than my experts and my team members in their areas of responsibility. Yeah. What I can do, I can orchestrate an organization. I can help an organization really to embrace new opportunities and identify those opportunities mm-hmm. and execute accordingly. And
How would you help them to identify? I mean, that is the most difficult part.
Constant communication, 360 degrees communication. So I very much believe that skip-level meetings are important, that you talk to your people, that you are approachable, that you encourage people to speak mm-hmm. up and come up with their ideas. At the end of the day, the more people you can activate to really add to this creativity process, mm-hmm. the better it is. Mm-hmm. And we do this around the world. And of course, we need very talented people with academia background mm-hmm. and expertise in material science and chemistry and physics mm-hmm. and so on. And when you can motivate those people to make a contribution very early in their career, I think that's very mm-hmm. encouraging. That's yeah. why our claim is also in this regard is open space for open minds. Mm-hmm. When we are close with our customers, do open communication and open innovation right. together with our respective partners in the respective market. That's why we have R&D centers here in the country. We want to innovate here because here is the market. Mm-hmm. Here we can learn from our customers. Here we can learn from where the unmet needs of our customers really are and mm-hmm. where's the opportunity.
How is the R&D center working here already? What are some of the latest development of that can contribute to your even global operations?
Well, we very much believe when we innovate here in China, we also manufacture here in China, and we sell in China. Mm. So in China for China, that's our core belief. That's why we are continuously investing here also in new production. I think currently we're building 5 new sites, production facilities here in the country. We are opening a new facility and a new yeah. R&D center here in China, in Shanghai, for materials for electronic and semiconductor applications. So we need to be there in order to really make a contribution and make mm. a difference. And with this, I think we, step by step, in all humbleness, with our focused approach, I think we can help our customers, for example, in areas like e-mobility mm-hmm. And communication and other topics. So I think mm-hmm. that makes a difference.
Can you give me a specific examples?
Well, for example, packaging in semiconductor is an important topic. Front end, back end, there are multiple applications. All these are material based. I very much believe, for example, also in silicon carbide. Mm-hmm. And we very recently, a couple of days ago, we made an investment in a small startup, in a small Chinese startup that is focusing now on diamonds for semiconductor applications. I think a very new trend, very hot trend, probably very early. But in 5 to 7 years from now, we definitely will hear more about this. Mm-hmm.
I see the lights in your eyes when you are talking about innovation and talking about early there on the stage already. Despite all of these development, we also see discussions, for example, about electronic cars and, you know, semiconductors, whether politics is and trade policies will play their role. Will there be a positive role that they played? So your thoughts on that, because you are pretty much on the chain. Supply chains and the value chains.
Yeah, we are material focused. We are early in the value
sure.
chains, and of course we understand ourselves as technology enabler. Mm. Yeah, and I think it's very important that we all understand what the challenges of also market forces are and how you can really develop market. And today we learned a lot about the new quality productivity forces. I think that's a new, very important perspective on how we can develop our businesses and our industries. And developing it in a sustainable way, where we work with the resources in a meaningful way, in a responsible way, where we think about how can we use circular economy topics, how can we develop talent, how can we educate people. I think that's something that, according to my understanding, is going in that direction of sustainability and new quality productivity forces.
Including educating the policymakers in different parts of the world?
No, well, we are not here, and it's not my role to lecture on anything. But in the end of the day, I very much believe that we are all together learning how a sustainable world and a more sustainable world and a CO2 neutral world can operate. And that's probably one of the biggest laboratory exercises we all do in the real world to some extent. We are learning as we go. Yeah, what does it take? How can we do it? How can we benefit from it? How can we manage the consumption of resources? How can we limit the CO2 problems and other issues? Yeah? And I think we are making enormous progress, and China has been making enormous progress. When you look at the quality of air, the quality of water, enormous improvements over the last years. Mm-hmm. So that's very encouraging to see that. And I think many parts of the world are looking into that. And we also look into the regulatory world. Mm. If I'm not mistaken, Europe and China have a similar perspective on regulation when it comes to CO2neutrality. And the regulatory framework is very, very similar now. Very recently, China launched a new policy around this, and this is very encouraging. Yeah? Mm. So by introducing these frameworks, I think we are giving the markets, the industry, a direction. Yeah? And understanding these forces better, understanding what it really takes, will enable us to build our business models around these topics. And from an entrepreneurial perspective, a positive sign. Mm.
You know, the general impression I have by talking to you, you are always keeping a very peaceful mind. You know, even at the very hype of geopolitics, by others, you still remains to be, you know, in such a calm mind. Mm. At least in your explanation, I think this is quite a impressive thing, to say the least.
Well, for me as an entrepreneur, the glass is always half full. So there's a lot more to gain. Yeah? There's a lot more to gain, and I focus on the things I can influence. Yeah. And that's technology, the level of motivation of our people. Mm. That's being a trustworthy partner for our partners here in the region and other markets. And that's what we focus on. And after 365 years of corporate history, we have a little patience.
Right.
Yeah. And staying focused, I think, is one of the characteristics of our business.
About innovation, I'm tremendously interested this time about innovation. You know, there are so many possible trends and directions innovation could eventually bring applications to. But for you, you need to decide at quite early age to get in order to stay on top. Mm. So how would you be able to solicit all these ideas, process them, and understand which one is more relevant to you and make the decisions?
That's an interesting point, and I'm still learning on this one.
Because we are not a profession of professional of everything, right? So please.
What we are doing is, so we know where our competence areas are, and that's about material science, chemistry, physics. That's what we can bring to the table. At the same time, we have this entrepreneurial attitude of taking risks and investing. I very much believe in portfolio, so not putting all my money and all my ideas on one topic, but being a bit diversified. That helps. Yes, and we focus on markets and industries like electronics, like semiconductor, the precious metals business, etc. So they are very relevant markets. But we are also looking now into healthcare as an important topic going forward, and it's very encouraging to see that also healthcare plays an important role on this
here in
CDF
China. Yes,
today,
indeed.
On this conference today.
Very That's top very priority.
Very important. And I think with our long-term thinking and as a family business, this is an area where we can make a contribution. And we will look into this and see what we can do. We have already some businesses here in China, in orthopedics.
Yes, sure.
But there's more we can do. And this is an area where I believe that we will look into that going forward and over the next years. Mm.
You know, just individually, I'm also curious, because before talking to you, I try to learn a little bit more about your company and see all these different areas. It's very hard for anyone to be an expert in all these areas. Mm. But as a decision maker, you need to have at least a certain level of sophistication. Mm. So how would you be able to keep yourself up to date about the latest possibilities? Every field we are talking about, having so many different branches of new development now with AI and many other things. So how do you do that on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's good.
I'm just trying to steal some secrets from you.
I'm always learning also from you during our contact. So I very much believe that I'm not the decision maker alone. Yeah, I want to encourage people to take decisions first. Mm-hmm. Second is, I have my ears and I have my eyes. So listening to people, encouraging people to speak up is very important.
Yeah.
Communication is so important. And in the end of the day, it's probably our, as a family-owned business, you have a little bit more time than probably a listed company. Mm-hmm. So we can try out things, we can iterate, we can learn, and then see how things can go faster and how we can accelerate growth.
Thank you so much, Yang.
Arthur, thank you.
It's such a pleasure to see you again.
Thank you.
With that, we're coming to the end of today's program. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of the team, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.